As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
People choke on a lot of different things. Popcorn has caused a death before.
The No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, October 27th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Nothing gives me the giggles like a Cam Stewart line. Popcorn has caused a death before.
Got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Got a new No Breaks episode coming up later this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, of course, with Trey, Graydon Gordian. And I'm jumping in on this one. Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's the USGP. There's a bunch of NBA players down there in the starting grid, so I can at least talk about Chris Bosh and Shaq a little bit. Otherwise, I'm gonna really offer up nothing, Trey.
Well, don't sell yourself short, Skeets. Han from the Fast and Furious franchises also showed up at the USGP, So we got a lot of stuff to talk to. If you've been listening to the podcast all summer, it's a great time to get in. We don't usually say that about Formula One, but come on, a lot of basketball stuff, some Fast and Furious, going to be perfect.
All right, so No Breaks will be on the No Dunks feed here, both on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all of that. 2 p.m. Eastern live if you want to join us on the stream team. What do you guys call the No Breaks live viewership?
The Slipstream team?
Slipstream.
That's right.
Yes, okay, excellent. So I'll be there joining the guys today. I can't wait. Lots to talk about, as always, on No Dunks Daily. We've got the game recaps. We've got some questions we'll get to. A little beach stepping. Why not later in the show? But we told y'all, they come in bunches, and we got two more wedgies last night. We're already up to four. We'll show them for everyone here in the stream team. First one, yeah, a little tip variety there in OKC. I guess who are we giving credit to?
Bielitsa. He's doing it all.
Yep. He really got his hand on that one, jammed it in there. Good stuff. So that was number three. And then a mere, I think, 20 minutes later, if that, in MSG, the national broadcast there on TNT, we get Joel Embiid just blocking RJ Barrett's layup attempt onto the right side of the rim. And that is number four. So Tass, wait till you see this number. Wait till you see the pace we're on when it comes to wedgies.
Wait till you
four
see this
early
pace.
On. Oh, oh! God. The pace is 74.
That is 74. Unbelievable. I've never seen
crowd
that before.
Goes wild.
Yeah. So very excited.
Is
WedgieTracker.com.
Number?
No, he's 71, but we're more overpaced than Schroeder's jersey number. So yeah, what a night. Excellent stuff. See if we can keep the streak going. Tonight, this is three shows in a row now where we've been talking about wedgies to start it. So,
speaking of Fast and Furious, that's how they're coming, as you said.
Right.
We were talking about grabbing it off the internet. We got to grab it. We got to put it online. That first one yesterday, and then all of a sudden, whoa! Another one just shows up out of nowhere. National broadcast, Brian Anderson calling it a wedgie.
Mm-hmm.
made that first one a little bit sweeter, because the first one was kind of nondescript, you know? It was an OKC, nobody really talking about it. But then Brian Anderson on national TV. 74. Have we ever seen that number? No, seriously.
I don't think so.
No way.
Never seen
it
that high. No. So thanks to everybody that tweets in at us when these happen, too. Keep it coming. At No Dunks Inc., INC. A lot of you on Instagram as well. Did you see that wedgie? You know, just let us know, especially if it's in a game where maybe not a lot of people are watching, like possibly that Warriors-Thunder game. You know, let us know the quarter. Let us know the time, roughly, so we can go grab it and get it into the show and get it up on Wedgie Tracker. Okay, but into the actual games here. Bing bong! Kemba scores 19 as the Knicks romp to end a 15-game skid against the 76ers. That was a weird stat there, Trey. They hadn't beat Philadelphia in 15 games? I mean, you know, Knicks were decent last year, and Sixers have been a good team, don't get me wrong, but that's strange that they haven't beaten them in 15 games. But how about them Knicks? What do you got, Trey?
There's only one place to start, Skeets, and you already said it all. Bing bong! The Knicks are back. Are you kidding me? They snapped the 15-game skid, which was such a momentous occasion that the New York Daily News literally put bing bong on their newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Bing bong! The skid is dead. Are you kidding me? Bing bong has become a rallying cry for the New York Knicks. I think bing bong guy could be in the MVP conversation right now. We're only a week in. Bing bong! But it's early. It's either the bing bong guy or last night. This is a segue for you. Kemba Walker. Oh, what a game for Kemba Walker. A huge win for the Knicks in the Garden. It's the best Kemba Walker Knicks game we've seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers aren't crazy. 19 points, which did lead New York. 6 assists. But it was really all about the second quarter for New York. They came in trailing. Philly had the lead after the first quarter. But the Knicks bench turned the tide. They turned a 3-point deficit into an 11-point lead, thanks mostly to Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley. Kemba comes back in 5 or 6 minutes into the quarter, and he was money. 10 points on 4 of 4 shooting. He hit a couple of threes. And the next thing you know, the Knicks are up by 20 at halftime. That was basically the game. Sixers made a fake run in the second half. Knicks held them off, took home a massive bing bong. 19 points for Kemba Walker, 18 for Evan Fournier, 13 for Derrick Rose, 8 for Emmanuel Quickley. That's 57 points on 19 of 37 shooting from Knicks guards. You can't help but think maybe the Sixers would like to have a perimeter defender out there.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know, a 6'10" all defense type to maybe help shut down some of these drives, because it seemed like Kemba Walker could get anywhere he wanted to against Seth Curry or Tyrese Maxey. The same for Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley, quite honestly. But the best thing about this Knicks win is that they get to go to Chicago on Thursday on a win. 3-1 the Knicks are, taking on the 4-0 Bulls. Honestly, a tragedy that this game is on NBA TV. It got flexed to NBA TV. There's not even a TNT game that night.
Huh.
Come on.
What's
going on?
Get
bones out of here.
Yeah, why is that?
There's a Thursday night football game, is my only guess. I don't think there's not even a baseball game, right?
No.
No.
No, it's the World Series game 1 and 2 was obviously last night and then tonight here on Wednesday. That's weird.
This should be a TNT game, no doubt here. Yeah. But fun times for the Knicks last night. Beating the Sixers, that's a quality win, even if we're not seeing the best Sixers we'll probably see this season. And, you know, they had the night one bing bong win, humongous. Then they lost at home to the Magic, which was a little bit of a bummer. But, I don't know, getting a win over the Sixers, who I don't understand. I'm with you, Skeets. How did they win 15 in a row over the Knicks?
Weren't
the Sixers, like, intentionally bad for a bunch of years here? Crazy stuff. But a win for the Knicks is big. And, hey, these are a couple of teams who could be jostling for playoff position somewhere down the line. So maybe it factors in tiebreaker-wise later on in the season, too.
Ironically, Ben Simmons has never lost to the Knicks. So,
oh, wow.
Him not out there was a big difference. But this was a good bounce back, I think, from the Knicks because of that stinker they played against the Orlando Magic there at home. They had that lead and couldn't finish them off, coming up against a much better team in Philadelphia, and they answered in that second quarter, as Trey alluded to there. And it kind of was a bit of a dud in that second half because the Sixers didn't really get all that close. But for the Knicks, I mean, again, seeing Kemba Walker play like this, and if he can stay on the floor and stay in games and play back-to-backs and play at least, you know, 70 games this season, it just makes such a difference because they haven't got or they haven't had a guy who can go out there and create like that and hit shots the way that he can before. I mean, you know, again, Derrick Rose last season was pretty much their second best player when he came over from the Pistons, and that's just not good enough. When he can come off the bench and become a factor like a scorer like he has been, that's just so much better for them. So lots of good signs there for the Knicks. Crowd was going crazy there again. Julius Randle had a reasonably quiet game. He had a still good, you know, statistically wasn't too bad, but they're just not relying on him as much as they had to, like we saw in the playoffs last season. There's so many other guys contributing, and there's a little bit to believe that the Knicks could be legit here.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, Lee, what you said. Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Bing bong!
What the fuck is going on? Why does...
Yep.
Are you serious? Do you guys share the same leaf blower guy and he just goes back and forth to your two houses? I'm, like, not even kidding at this point. It's insane. Every day there's one of you having a leaf blower.
Yeah. I'm sure he listens to the show and he's like, okay, 10 o'clock Eastern. Just about time for me to start blowing some leaves.
It's amazing at this point. No, but Randle and Barrett, Tass, have not, like, been amazing to start the season. They've been fine, and yet the Knicks are still winning a lot of these games because I think a big part of it, that depth that Trey talked about, this second unit, they got a lot of guys. That's a good sign. That makes me believe this is more sustainable, I guess, what I'm getting at here. It's not Randle going for 35 and 15 or RJ Barrett like killing it right now and can't miss a shot. It's the opposite of that. They're getting there, especially Randle as a playmaker is amazing, but everybody else contributing. This is a really, really good Knicks team, and I'm excited for NBA TV Thursday night. Bulls and Knicks here, but what did you think of this game?
Well, I just checked the TNT schedule for Thursday. Hotel Transylvania 2 is on. which is following an episode of Bones, obviously.
Of course.
Which is following another episode of Bones. There's like it's like a Bones marathon. But let me tell you something about Bones. There hasn't been a new episode of Bones in 3 years, but it's still running because it's that good. That's phenomenal. Bones.
Well, let me tell you another thing about Bones. I've seen the final 2 minutes of every episode of Bones.
Yeah, probably.
You ask me how it ends, I can tell you, but I don't know what happens for the rest of it.
Yeah, so I guess no new episode of Bones, no new episode of the Knicks Bulls on TNT. I'm definitely looking forward to that game. Yeah, the Knicks are definitely deeper. It's nice that Randle doesn't have to do everything. He doesn't look exactly like he did last year, but that's all right because they are deeper, and they're deeper than a Sixers team. Trey mentioned they could use a guy at the point of attack to play a little defense in Ben Simmons. They could also use a ball handler. It just seemed like Joel Embiid was not into this game whatsoever. He was a little bit fussy, I think, with Tyrese Maxey running the show there. Joel Embiid got one paint shot in this game. Now, it was kind of offset because he had 11 free throws. But that's not Joel Embiid's game. He's struggling to start the year from the mid-range. Remember last year when he was the MVP runner-up? He hit everything in the mid-range. Just give him the ball and give him a little bit of isolation. Set him up, Ben, and watch him go. He was over 50% last year from mid-range, and it's dropped to like half this year, like 28%. So I just think they desperately need a guy to penetrate because Tobias Harris had a good game, and guys are chipping in around Embiid, and they're 2-2, and that's fine. But I just don't know when this game of chicken ends between Daryl Morey and Ben Simmons. I mean, it's like they're taking turns being Matt Barnes in that Matt Barnes Kobe scenario there, where Matt Barnes sitting just, you know, trying to get Kobe to shake. Kobe's not shaking, and then, you know, Ben Simmons will take the ball trying to shake Daryl Morey, but that's not happening. When is it going to happen? When is Ben Simmons going to take the floor? Because he's got to play at some point, at least get on the floor to seem, to look like he's tradable, to show what he's got. And he could also help this team greatly on both ends. So this ended up being a blowout because in the fourth quarter, Tyrese Maxey made some bad decisions as the lead ball handler. It just doesn't seem like he's ready for that yet. And he's 20 years old, so that's expected. The deeper team here, as you said there, Skeets, it's the New York Knicks, which was not the case last year.
Yeah, stream team dragging Joel Embiid's performance here because it was rough.
You know,
it was
14 bad.
And 6, only 2 of 7. Got to give some credit to Mitchell Robinson because the Knicks are a much better team when he's out there as well. And yeah, Embiid made it easy on him at times, especially to start this game, like you said, Tass. felt like the Sixers took like 8 straight three-pointers. And I think they didn't even count Embiid's as a three-pointer. He may have been on the line, but, you know, he fired one from the corner, another one from the top, and it's like, come on, big man, get to work, go inside. But Mitchell Robinson is such a great defensive five, and you just hope he stays healthy. And then this Knicks defense is legit when he's back there. It's really helped out. So good win from the Bing Bong Knicks. To get us started really last night with that TNT doubleheader, and we'll move to game two, unless anybody has other notes about that. Gobert led the Jazz over the Nuggets, 122-110. Big story from this one, though, Lee, the Joker leaving the game with, I guess they're calling a knee contusion, banged knee, so he didn't play in the second half. But what were your takeaway from the Jazz staying undefeated and the injury to Jokic?
Well, I'll start with Jokic because we could see the collision happen there. And when you can see it, oftentimes that's not too bad because you can, you know, it's those injuries where no one's around them and they just collapse in a heap that tend to be the worst. So it sounds like Michael Malone said to him at halftime, how do you feel? And Jokic was like, he didn't feel all that good. So they decided more precautionary than anything else, I think. So he maybe misses a game or so here, but it doesn't sound like it's a catastrophic injury, mm-hmm. which is fantastic news for Jokic and, of course, the Nuggets. But to the game. And yesterday on the show, we talked about predictions that we maybe thought we got right or could pull back. And I think, you know, I remember saying that I feel the Utah Jazz are probably going to have the best record, certainly in the Western Conference, because they're just such a good regular season team. Basically, there's been a few changes from last season, but it's that same sort of lineup, very good, consistent starting five, and then great contributions from everybody who comes off the bench. They defend well. They've got so many different guys who can either hit a three or just score the ball, and it's just so hard to trade baskets with them, and that's what the Nuggets were doing for a lot of this game. And inevitably, what happens is, if the Jazz lock in defensively and get a few stops, then that can just really sort of turn the game. And that's what happened in the fourth quarter here. The Nuggets just sort of slowed down. That Jazz defense ramped up. And that was the ball game. The Jazz just put it out of reach. So they've got so many weapons. And when you look at this team, you just think, how do they keep falling over in the playoffs? Because they've got the continuity. They've got the star player in Donovan Mitchell. They've got the defensive anchor there in Rudy Gobert, who almost beefed again. I mean, he's been incredible for them. And he's getting some buckets at the other end, especially with Jokic out there. And they've just got all the ingredients of a team that really should be able to be more successful in the playoffs. So we can't really judge this team until we get there because we've seen this before. But that home court advantage is great. Quinn Snyder, I mean, he coaches his team well during the regular season. And everyone knows their role, whether it's Ingles or Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. Those guys know, I can shoot now. This is my time to play. This is my time to score. But they get so many contributions from everybody else. So they're 3-0 in the season, 2-0 at home. It's very, very hard to see how they don't win 58 games at least, the Utah Jazz, because they're just such a good team. And they've got all the weapons and all the players who can go out there and just make it a very, very hard place to win. So good win for them. For the Nuggets, another loss here coming after they lost at home to the Cleveland Cavaliers the night before. I thought Aaron Gordon was actually good offensively for them, mm-hmm. but few questions there. And there's a little bit, we talked about hot seat as well coming into the season. I think Michael Malone's fine for now, and I think they will get back to winning basketball, but we know how quickly things can turn for a franchise that has expectations, and the Nuggets certainly have those after getting swept in the playoffs last season.
Yeah, but what are the Nuggets expectations this year with no Jamal Murray? Like, what's considered a good season?
Top four, I think anything outside of top four is a bit of a letdown for them. I mean, you've got the MVP, you've got a good team, you've got Michael Porter Jr., you just gave him the big contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not looking at this season as, like, you know, anything less than a home court advantage at minimum for that mm-hmm. first round. So, you know, they have to, they've survived so far okay without Jamal Murray, but, you know, there's always, if they're, let's say they lose five or six in a row, you know Michael Malone's immediately going to become the first point of, like, you know, reference to be like, okay, maybe we need a new coach. He's been there for a long time. So we'll see. But tough couple of nights for them. I think they probably overlooked the Cavs. And then, again, one of the hardest places, if not the hardest place to win in the NBA, Utah.
Yeah, this one got a little feisty task, too, about 5 minutes to go. I guess we had Jamichael Green and Hassan Whiteside pushing and bumping and jawing at each other. No punches thrown, but they were assessed technical fouls and ejected from the game. Probably a little much for what they got into, but at that point of the game, maybe the refs are like, eh, we don't need these guys out here. Get out of here. Anything to add from the Jazz victory over the Nuggets last night?
Well, it was a good little trial run for the Utah Jazz with Nikola Jokic out, I thought, in the second half, because teams want to run Rudy Gobert off the floor on both ends. They try and get him moving as much as possible, and then on the defensive end, They try and go small against him so they can switch and get in his way, and Rudy has to go through guys, and that's not really Rudy's game. So I thought this was a good little trial run, and they performed really, really well. They did a good job of continuing to move it on the offensive end, and this was fantastic Jazz basketball. I think it kind of looked like what the Clippers did to them in round two last year. They moved the ball, tried to get Rudy moving, and I think they did that on the offensive end when Jokic was out, and the Nuggets just tried to switch everything. So they're one of three undefeated teams left, and yeah, if they can play various styles, this obviously helps them going into the playoffs, when that will be the point where we all judge them, of course. They get the Bucks on this weekend. I think it's Sunday. Definitely this weekend, so that'll be a great matchup. But they have a little tough sked coming up, but they're healthy, they're deeper than they are last year. Think about this bench, you know, besides Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Bojan, Royce O'Neal, and Rudy that start. Yeah, they got Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, and then Hassan Whiteside and Eric Paschal, and they like Jared Butler. They're deep, they're healthy, they're ready to win a billion games, and I think they have learned from last year's bounce job in the second round to move the ball a little bit more, not just rely on Donovan Mitchell. So that was, I think that was a really good second half for them.
What's super disappointing, Trey, is that Jokic bangs knees, has to leave the game. Guy had 24 points, 6-6 in 15 minutes against one of the best defenders in the league.
He always takes it to Gobert.
I know. It's amazing. He just crushes them. I mean, he shot 8-9 again before he left. 24-6-6 in 15 minutes. We may have been talking about like a, I don't know, 50-20 here, or 50-15 type of game from Jokic against Gobert. But, of course, he goes out and they lose.
Yeah, he goes out and they lose. And you can see just how shallow this Nuggets team is right now, especially with Michael Porter Jr. struggling. He's at 11 points per game on 35% shooting so far through the first couple of games of the season here. Last night wasn't any better. 13 points on 18 shots. The Nuggets right now just cannot withstand losing Jokic for a half and having Michael Porter Jr. struggle. Because like you're saying, Lee, Aaron Gordon had a nice game last night. Will Barton had a nice game last night, 19 points in the third quarter for Barton. But once the defense picked up in the fourth quarter for the Jazz, it just became an ISO fest for the Nuggets, and they don't have any ISO players right now. So they're in a tough spot, but hopefully the Jokic injury isn't much of an injury. Like y'all are saying, at least it was just a contact thing, and you could actually see him like moving his leg last night. So I suppose that's encouraging. I also want to give a shout out to Kevin Harlan. A great call during the skirmish between Hassan Whiteside and JaMychal Green. They're jostling, they're pushing, they're separating. I was like, yeah, this isn't actually much of a fight, no, but when he's calling it, it definitely felt like it. You know, they had a ton of people there. I think Hassan Whiteside did take like a shot to the face, but it was from Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. Like he gave him the most of a sock in the face. But I don't know. These two teams have been very good for a few seasons now. They also are in the Mountain Time Zone, so maybe that plays into it. But it feels like there's a little bit of animosity just because they're both trying to break through to the next level.
I think that's fair. You got a kick out of that Harlan call, eh, Lee?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that too when I was talking about it, because he just makes everything great. I mean, this is JaMychal Green and Hassan Whiteside. This is not like the top billing of a bout out there. But he makes it great. He makes it interesting. And we've seen him, of course, with football when, like, is it the guy runs out onto the field and Kevin Harlan does the play-by-play for that. So, he is fantastic. Is he the best commentator right now, maybe? I mean, he's up there, isn't he?
Yeah. Harlan and Green are both fantastic.
Yeah.
They're probably at the top of my leaderboard. This is two games in a row, I just realized, of the Nuggets getting into it with guys. They're building quite the card here. We got Green versus Whiteside and I don't know if it's the main event on this card task, but we had Campazzo versus Rubio going head to head. So Nuggets are pissed off. Come on, bring it. They'll fight everybody, or at least go forehead to forehead with you. The three other games last night, we can touch on all of them or none of them if you want. We had AD and Westbrook leading the LeBron-less Lakers by the Spurs, 125-121. Very entertaining game. Mavs beat the Rockets, 116-106. In kids' home debut. Everybody getting a chance to play for the Dallas Mavericks. Curry scored 23 as the Warriors topped the Thunder to remain unbeaten. They were trailing at the half, but got back in the second. Of those three there, Tass, which one did you want to touch on?
Yeah, let's stay with the Golden State Warriors, one of the three remaining undefeated teams in the league. The OKC, of course, they should beat OKC. OKC likely going to have the worst record in the league this year, but they were up on them in the third quarter, going into the second half of that third quarter. And Damian Lee, I thought, was really key in the fourth quarter. Damian Lee, He is third in total bench points in the NBA this year behind Tyler Hero and Patty Mills. Steph is rubbing off on him. I think he's playing so well off of guys, just watching where he can cut and find openings and relocate on threes. So when, you know, all the focus on Steph or Draymond or anybody else, Damian Lee cutting so well, and he has been given the green light to close with Steph, Draymond, Iguodala, and Andrew Wiggins. I think, yeah, just being beside Steph, also being his brother-in-law for several years here, he's married to Steph's sister, has affected him. I mean, he's a guy who started in Atlanta for a year and then went to Golden State, and is 29 years old, so, you know, I guess you'd call him a journeyman-type player, but has found his way. It could be sort of Jordan Poole closing, you know, with that lineup I just mentioned, but Steve Kerr can't trust him, but he can trust Damian Lee. Damian Lee, I'm surprised to see this stat from Anthony Slater that he's third in total bench points. He had a great night, 20-point night, to help beat OKC when Steph wasn't Steph-like, and they were just getting the ball out of his hands. But Damian Lee doing a really, really good job. So the Warriors finding their way. They don't know what their starting lineup is. Their starting lineup is kind of getting beat, and their bench players are coming in. Obviously, they're waiting for Clay, but to be 4-0, I don't know if anyone really expected that. So, yeah, we're waiting to see who's losing first between the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Bulls.
Yeah. Here's what other teams think of the lowly Thunder. Kerr said he couldn't rest Steph Curry as much as he wanted to because the Thunder were too competitive. This is something he said about another team in the NBA. And he's right. And again, OKC was leading. Tass, you said it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had an awesome game again. I mean, smooth with it, 30 points. Dort made life difficult for Curry because he is a great defender. But yeah, nobody is afraid of this Thunder team at all, nor should they be. I was debating on Twitter, and we were talking about it before we jumped on the stream here. Like, are they going to win 10 games? Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be close. I think, you know, maybe they just get over that mark lately. But they're bad despite having, obviously, an all-star level talented guy in Shai, and then some other, you know, pieces. But man, just the rest of it is, it's tough to watch. I mean, they had a guy I didn't even know was in the league starting for them last night. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, calling him JRE on the broadcast. Yeah. And as Schumann pointed out, kept thinking they were saying JR Reed. I mean, they might as well have JR Reed on this team.
Yeah, and I thought exactly the same thing as Shu, because you hear it, you hear JR Reed, and I'm like, who's that? And then you have to go and check it out. But I don't think Sam Presti has said, you know, we're tanking, but, you know, just again, they've just started out the season where you're like, this team, how are they going to put together wins, and how is that good for the sort of mentality in the locker room there? If you're on a team where it's like, guys don't want to win. Derek Favors sat out last night for rest. I mean,
that's tired. We're a week into the season.
It's been a long season.
I just don't like that sort of approach. I mean, I understand if he's got all these draft picks and he wants to get high quality players, but if you're a young player and Gilgeous-Alexander just signed that big contract, do you want to be a part of a team that's not really trying to win? I mean, I just don't think it's very good. So, and I just don't think it's good for the league either. I mean, the same thing last year, Al Horford was like, no, just stay home. We don't want you out here playing. You know, they gave away Kemba Walker for virtually nothing as well. I mean, it's just a bad look, I think. So, yeah, I hope they win more than 10 games, because otherwise I think it could be a little bit like the Sixers, where guys are just like, I don't want to play for a team and a franchise that's not trying to win.
Yeah, so, how long does Shai put up with it?
Yeah, that's the real question.
I'd say this year, he'll put up with it this year since they gave him the max money. But next year, if it continues, you know, at some point in the season, he's got to say to Sam Presti, what are we doing here? I'd like to win a game or two.
I'll just, Greg here with a comment. Young players don't care. They know of a thing called the future, too. They understand what's happening. I 100% disagree. Young players don't come in and go, that's fine, I'll be a part of a process. They want to go out there and win immediately. They're not interested in like, oh, we'll be good in a couple of years. I mean, players come to the NBA and expect to win and expect to compete for championships and try their best. And if they're not on a franchise that's trying to do that, I think it's bad. I mean, you know, you look at guys like Okafor, high draft pick, but not even in the league. He just got waived from the Atlanta Hawks. Nerlens Noel never lived up to his potential. Michael Carter-Williams also, is he still in the league? He's bounced around quite a fair bit.
Magic?
He's a magician. Out there.
Yeah, is he in the Magic? Yeah. And then, you know, so I don't think it's helpful to say to guys, you're just sort of place fillers until we get the good players. That's really what they're saying.
Trey, any of those other games you want to touch on? The Lakers-Spurs game was very entertaining. Maybe it was one of the more entertaining games of the night.
Yeah, my favorite take from the Lakers-Spurs game is that this should be part of LeBron James's MVP case because he sat out, which allowed Russell Westbrook to find his way with the Los Angeles Lakers. Kind of a crazy take, but sure, why not? Nonetheless, this is exactly why the Lakers did want Westbrook, and that's what Frank Vogel said afterwards, is that LeBron and AD don't have to do anything, so LeBron sitting out with an ankle injury. Westbrook was able to go crazy last night, but to me, this looked like the Spider-Man meme this game did. Westbrook and Anthony Davis were no different than DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl. It was like anytime Westbrook and Davis wanted to get a basket out of the pick and roll, they could. Anytime that Murray and Poeltl wanted to get a basket out of the pick and roll, they could. So nice for the Lakers to get a win. Nice for Westbrook to have his best game in L.A. But you got to be concerned if you are the Lakers defense, giving up this many points to the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know. They were just looking around at each other so many times. Anthony Davis just like, who are you trying to guard? There were so many breakdowns for the Lakers. They look like a team that's going to be trying to get into the play-in, just like the Spurs are. So good to get a win, but I wasn't super impressed by what I saw.
Yeah, Tass, I don't know about you, but as a Raps fan, no, I know it resulted in a championship, but man, watching Poeltl with what the Raps are rolling out at center over the last couple of years, I was like, oh God, it'd be nice to have a guy like that in the lineup, because he was really dominant, like Trey said, in this game. He was amazing, 27-14, and then Murray with 21-15 assists was awesome too, and again, this was a back-and-forth game. Not a lot of defense was being played, but what were your takeaways from this one?
My takeaway was that it was a one-year championship, just one championship for the Raptors. But if Jakob Poeltl is on their side, they're still running it back. Repeat after repeat after repeat.
Oh, wow.
27-14. The Spurs running out every single white center you can think of. They got a Drew Eubanks coming in behind. They got a Jock Landale, a man named Jock, just waiting to play basketball. They go back. Joffrey Laverne. They make centers into solid players. And Jakob Poeltl was a talented guy, but to see DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl running the 1-5 pick and roll at the end of games and the Yak getting the ball over and over again, I too was not super impressed with the Los Angeles Lakers and the way it is pretty clogged in the lane right now. I don't think they know where they want to go. I think Russell Westbrook's got to do a little bit of a better job at KYP, knowing your personnel, because he's throwing it to Rajon Rondo in the corner to shoot a three, and it's not working out. They miss KCP, not KYP. They need some shooters, obviously, out there, but the spacing, it's not good right now. They don't have it all down. And LeBron James, I know, was resting. He looked good in that hat. Not resting. He was hurt. He looked good on his hat. I'm sure he watched Dune after the game. But they need him to run the show out there. They desperately need him to run the show. He is their point guard. And I think Russ has done a good job of ceding that role to LeBron. He had to, obviously, coming over. But I think it's very different for Russell Westbrook being playing with LeBron James. And I think that part has worked out all right to start.
Westbrook won them the game, though, too, in mm-hmm. overtime. He was like, I mean, this is the crazy thing about him. Everybody's pretty exhausted after playing an entire game, and he's like cranks it up another notch. He's like throwing down dunks in traffic in overtime, Lee. So like, yeah, he still took a couple weird shots, three-pointers early in shot clocks and stuff like that. But outside, you know, it was really him and AD just like getting them there across the finish line and pulling out the victory. And I like the Spurs, man. They're fun watch. I think you talked about them last year a lot, Tass. Like a sneaky fun watch, even though they maybe weren't winning a ton of games. Devin Vassell, excuse me, was awesome in this one. He's got a funky, weird game to him. He almost seems like out of control all the time, but it somehow pays off in a couple of his drives and stuff like that. So they're obviously with some of their guys, you know, Keldon Johnson and Murray and Derek White, if Lonnie, you're still a fan of him, and Lonnie Walker had a pretty good game. Yeah, there's just a lot of young talent, and Poeltl in the mix. They're fun at the very least. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, but they are a fun team.
Yeah, practice your free throws, kids, too.
Ooh, finally.
Seven at the line.
In the fourth. And,
in the fourth quarter, yes. Yeah. And Jakob Poeltl, oh, man, that is a rough-looking free throw that he throws up there. and Chris Herring pointed out on Twitter, because Anthony Davis went down in a sort of non-collision-y sort of off one of those misses from Poeltl. And it looked like Anthony Davis was out for the season. Just, he was rolling on the ground. He did come back up there. But I agree with what Chris Herring says. Every time Anthony Davis seems to go down, it's like, oh, my God, he could be done for the season here. But he does seem to get up and shake it off there, and it was important for them. But, yeah, the thing with Westbrook last night, I mean, without LeBron there, it allows Westbrook to be what he's used to being playing throughout his career, where he can just kind of be in control. He has the ball, and he will. He won the game for them last night, no doubt, but he will have those games where he does lose them as well, because he just plays that same speed and that same way. But I think if you are Frank Vogel, you really have to consider just staggering those two when they're out on the court, because Westbrook is at his best when he doesn't feel that he has to defer to a better player, or certainly a player in a similar position like LeBron is. Anthony Davis and he and Westbrook can work together, but I just don't think Westbrook and LeBron out there is their best offensive lineup, because at times when they've played together this season, it has looked really junky out there. But Westbrook seemed a little bit freer last night.
And I promise no spoilers here, but LeBron was making headlines yesterday for critiquing the end of Squid Game. Lee, have you watched Squid Game, or will you be watching Squid Game?
Come on, I think you know me a little better than that, don't you? Of course not.
Yes. You refuse to watch the most popular show ever in the history of Netflix.
I'm not refusing to watch it. I'm just, you know, it's just I watch basketball, and that's it.
No,
I don't watch anything else.
What? You can't stop watching Dancing with the Stars when we have it on. You can't even say a word when we watch it. Yes.
It was captivating watching your mom out there the other night.
All right, okay. Just curious. Okay. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, though, we will hit the beach to answer a few of the questions you guys have sent in over the last couple of days.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, no breaks. Our F1 podcast coming up later today, which means we're actually not going to have a separate beach step-in podcast this week. But hey, your questions are so good. We had to slip a few in here. Let's dip our toes in the sand, JD. Yeah, a few questions, and thank you to everybody that's sending them in. Keep them coming, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in at nodunksinc, or drop them in the YouTube comments below our videos. Okay, first one. Hey, No Dunkos, longtime listener, first-time caller. Watching Alex Caruso has given me an idea for a new yearly award. Most impactful player to average single-digit points. I think he's a lock. What new or interesting awards would you guys like to see added? Thanks. That's from Ryan in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Trey, where is that? Where's that located?
That's a Chicago suburb. Shout out to the Illinois boys.
All right. Bulls are back. Way to go, Ryan. Loving Caruso. He wants to come up with a crazy award for him, Tass. So I don't know if you have a thought on that award from Ryan or something else in mind.
It's quite solid. I think what would be better, and I think what the players could get into and vote on even, is the all-irritant team. I think the players would love to check off who they hate. And I think it would be good to immortalize some of the players that we kind of forget about that are just lost in the long history of the NBA, like, you know, Zaza Pachulia, he's an irritant, Matthew Dellavedova, Kelly Olynyk, even Matt Barnes. You know, these guys not necessarily winning awards, like an Alex Caruso. So I do like the suggestion for the Caruso, but I like this all irritant suggestion. Just I'd get the ballot out for each player in the league, and they would just select five. I think a starting lineup of five. Now there might be a lot of repeat guys, but from year to year, I think there'd be enough turnover, and I think we could do it right now. I put it out on Twitter yesterday, so let's do it for this season right here right now. Who makes you angry? Anybody Anybody?
I mean, Patrick Beverley is 100%
I think Patrick Beverley's starting. You know, he's got the Timberwolves feisty. He's doing a good job of it. But I think there's a pretty universal backcourt mate for him.
Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart. The flopping the flopping really gets under people's nerves.
Yeah.
But if you go further in the lineup, anybody else you guys want to throw out at a wing-type player?
Lee, anybody come to mind? I think it gets more difficult the bigger the bigger we get up here.
But there's one guy people would say he's got a, quote, punchable face.
Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks, I think.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He hasn't played this year, so
he hasn't played quite yet. But
yeah, that's a great one.
He's on there. So I think that would be the 1-2-3. I think you'd squeeze Dylan in there in the small forward spot. Yeah, when you get bigger, it gets a little bit more interesting. You know, people say Draymond because of history. A lot of talking.
Dwight Howard might have to.
Dwight's a good one.
He picks up a tech every game.
Yeah, he's hitting people. So yeah. I think that would probably be the starting five. Now, a lot of suggestions for Grayson Allen. Even Thanasis Antetokounmpo is out there to bang people. Facu Campazzo, he gets under people's skin. He got into a little bit of a tussle with Ricky Rubio the other day. Rajon Rondo. So I think there's enough for a five every year, and I see nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of these guys would be happy when they see Marcus Smart looking at that and saying, I made
it's
the all
badge
irritant
of honor.
Team.
Yeah.
So that's my pick.
Okay. All right. All irritant team. Lee, do you have any other crazy awards you'd like to see?
Well, you know, we talk a lot about MVPs and sixth man of that. What about the garbage time MVP? You know, when the games are over and a dude comes out in the last 5 or 6 minutes, like Jay Scrubb, who came out for the LA Clippers the other night against the Blazers
Sick
and
name.
Had 6 points in the last 8 minutes of a game. So, you know, guys are out there trying to make a name for themselves, and that's their opportunity to shine. I don't have the stats compiled because, you know, when does officially garbage time start? But, you know, I think there's something there where a guy's be like, this guy put up the most points when the margin was perhaps the biggest. Throughout the season. I think there could be something there.
Right. Is the award like a human victory cigar or
something
like that? Yeah.
That could be it. Yeah.
Cigar trophy.
I guess just a cigar.
Yeah, sure.
I was thinking of, wasn't that what Darko was called, or am I crazy? Who was called that?
Somebody Darko was... has been. Scalabrini was.
Yeah. Oh, Scalabrini. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. TK, you got anything?
I would just go baseball with this and give out an award for everything. They give out an award for best hitter for every position in both leagues and best fielder for every position in both leagues. They used to give out an award to the best reliever called the Rolaids Relief Man. The funniest name for an award, probably in awards history, only until they come up with the Jay Scrubb Award for the 13th man of the year. But that's what I would do. I think that season leaders should be a bigger deal at the end of the season. Scoring title, to me, should be an honor rather than something we just kind of mention when we're talking about players. So if we're mailing a cigar to the human
Jay
victory
Scrub.
Cigar, yeah, to the Jay Scrub winner, what are we going to give to the scoring title winner? I don't know, a gold basketball? I guess that's the NBA championship trophy. Every trophy in the NBA is either a guy running with a basketball or just a basketball. That's pretty weird. So I don't know, maybe a golden bucket. A silver bucket could be good. But they should give something to whoever leads the league in scoring, since it's the most important thing you can do on a basketball court.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I don't mind. Like baseball, they have a silver slugger. That's why I got the silver. They get a silver bat, I guess. The leader for each position in, you know, from point guard to center in each conference. Why not? If you're the leading point guard scorer,
sure.
Give it to them. Two in each. Yeah. Couple silver balls. I'm sure Adam Silver.
Ooh,
why not?
Silver's balls.
Silver balls.
My holy king in the stream team wants to see a worst haircut award. Which I think early in this season might be Kenrich Williams. He's got a, and this might be even from last. I don't know when this was taken. This photo. I think it's even crazier looking now. It's like, yeah, it is. Because last night, it was so boxy. It was incredibly boxy, but this guy's got a lot of hair. But there are maybe some other candidates out there. I'm sure the stream team will have some fun with this. Who has the worst
haircut
in the league right now? If you've got a good answer, have at it. Drop it in the YouTube comments below, or let us know here in the stream team as we're going through it. People are like in the silver balls, protected by the silver cup. EJ, great stuff there. Okay, our next question. Hey, No Dunks Bros. I'm from Leicester, England. Liam, am I saying that
yes,
right?
Yes, you are saying it right. Very well done, Skeetsy. Mm. Yes. Excellent.
Spelled like, it's spelled crazy, guys.
It's spelled weird, yeah.
Yeah, it's L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R, but Leicester, England. And I respect the grind from you guys. It can be hard to keep up with the NBA affairs, but the No Dunks boys keep me tapped in. My question, I feel as though LaMelo and Miles Bridges are CP3 and Blake Griffin reincarnated. This is Lob City 2.0. Do you guys see any other fun comparisons across the league? Turn up. You had me? You never had me. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Lyle. Lyle from Leicester. So, Trey, what do you got, man?
Well, I like Lyle's suggestion. However, for me, the idea of Lob City was always more fun than the actual Lob City, because once Chris Paul showed up to the Clippers, more expectations and more of a Chris Paul team, right? They played a little slower, a little bit more deliberate, and they were better. So, yeah, I do think that LaMelo and Miles Bridges are a Clippers duo, but it's a different Clippers duo, and maybe it's because I got cover story on the brain. I think they're Lamar Odom and Darius Miles, because everybody loves to watch a team that actually isn't that good right now. And that reminds me of when Lamar Odom and Darius Miles were on the cover of Slam Magazine way back in the day, and we were all super excited about this team that nobody had any expectations for. We just wanted to see sick highlights, and that's kind of exactly what the Hornets are right now. If you want to extend the metaphor, Terry Rozier becomes Jeff McInnes. Kelly Oubre becomes Corey Maggette. PJ Washington is Quentin Richardson. And Gordon Hayward is somehow both Elton Brand and Eric Pietkowski.
That is good.
Yeah. But that's the thing to me. It's like the Hornets right now, we're in it for the highlights, and the wins are gravy at this point. So that's very early 2000s Clippers in my book.
Okay. What do you got, Lili?
Well, I sort of went a little bit similar. I tweeted this, in fact, last night, because looking at the top of the Eastern Conference, I was like, wow, is this 1993 again? The Bulls and the Knicks and the up-and-coming Hornets there with their best player, who wore number 2, of course, Larry Johnson, LaMelo Ball wearing that number 2. Mm. And Jack Kogut out in Washington even said to me, like, hey, Wes Unseld was the coach of Washington in 92-93, and Wes Unseld Jr. is the coach now. And right. It goes even further, because in the World Series right now, we've got the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves are up against the Toronto Blue Jays in 92. I mean, I'm sort of blending 92, 93, you know, together here. Yeah. But just the fact that we've got the Bulls and the Knicks at the top of the conference, and then we've got the Hornets on the rise, made me feel like it was almost 30 years ago to the day. Can you believe that? Incredible stuff here. And 1-0 Braves. Great win last night in Houston.
Oh, I can't believe we haven't talked about that. Yeah. Buried the lead here on an NBA podcast. Game 1 of the World Series. Way to go, Braves. Braves, 6-2 victory. Awesome stuff. Okay, Tass, what about you for this question from Lyle from Leicester?
Lyle from Leicester. My brain immediately went to the Los Angeles Clippers of the early 2000s, too. Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and Lamar Odom and Corey Maggette. And I thought of the current San Antonio Spurs as a comparison to them, because I think they're all a bunch of cool guys, just like those early 2000s Clippers. I just wanted to watch them, you know, be them. Just be cool. And I love watching DeJounte Murray play. I think he's, you know, such a unique body type and the cool dude off the court. I like him. Lonnie Walker, same goes for him. I mean, he's a high flyer as well. So he's, you know, he's got some Darius Miles, Lamar Odom vibes. Keldon Johnson as well, just takes it to the rack. He's got a little Corey Maggette in him. So I feel like that's a decent comparison. As Trey mentioned, we didn't have expectations for the Los Angeles Clippers way back in the early 2000s. Same goes for the current San Antonio Spurs. I know people won't be able to make that link in their brains, because the Spurs just, He just can't associate coolness with the Spurs. I get it. But if you watch them, there's cool vibes out there with, yeah, DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson. You mentioned Devin Vassell, who's got a unique game. It doesn't extend to Jakob Poeltl. The coolness doesn't extend there, I didn't say. Love you, Yak.
But you got to have a Piatkowski around.
Got to have him. They've got plenty. They got Jack on the bench and a bunch of other guys like that. But and a Doug McDermott. That's your Piatkowski.
Oh, that's a good Piatkowski.
They got a Doug.
McDermott had a dunk like in the half court last night. Doug McDermott is good for 1 to 2 surprising dunks every season.
Yeah, he is. He can get up there, surprisingly. Our final one here on this little mini episode of Beach Steppin' within our daily show. Fellas! God, it feels good now that the season has started and seeing that Wilson wobble all over the court. Another Wilson ball, giving us those wedgies at least. My question, what has clickbaited you? Being in Adelaide, I was at work and I saw the Aussie media headline titled Giddy Shatters NBA Record in Debut. Boy, oh boy, was I pumped. What had Joshy done? Well, while impressive, all Giddy had done was register the most rebounds by a rookie in a debut game for OKC. Yes, it's a record, but that's a bit of a stretch. So, boys, have you been baited? What you got? Love ya. That is from Big Kroger. So Big Kroger Daga got clickbaited, Lee. I mean, it happens to the best of us. I mean, my buddy Grish will click on everything like that. But what about you?
Yeah, so taking you back to 2002 when I got my first ever mobile phone and I got a old pay-as-you-go. All right, this is in London. I got a pay-as-you-go one from Virgin Mobile. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to go crazy. I'll just keep it, you know, try to restrain myself. And about, I don't know, a couple of days after I got it, I got a text message that said, congratulations, you've finished, you know, top four of these certain prizes. Dial this number to claim your prize. And I was like, well, maybe it's a promotion. So anyway, I was in a pub at the time when I got it and I knew the sort of lady or the girl who was working behind there. I said, can I just borrow the house phone for a minute? I just want to dial this number. Apparently, I've won something. I just want to check it out. And I'm on a pay-as-you-go. I might run out of credit. And she's like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
So I'm dialing away and it's like, yes, congratulations. You're finished in the top four. One of your prizes. You know, and then it goes on and says, like, you will win this. And I'm just there for like 25 minutes just going like, when am I going to get this? When am I going to get to the point? Anyway, eventually I'm like, all right, I think this is a scam. So I hung up. A few days later, it kept me hanging on. And then I saw the girl again, you know, a week or a couple of weeks later, and she said, what number did you dial the other day? I was like, it was one of those, you know, you claim your prize numbers. She was like, it was like 180 quid that we had to pay for the phone. I'm like, I guess that's what it was then. It was a scam. Anyway, she didn't make me pay for it, but the landlord wanted to know who, the publican wanted to know who was calling those numbers, so I got away with it. But yeah, they got me early on. But a good lesson to learn, because it didn't ultimately cost me the money.
Yeah, they didn't get you at all. They wanted you to call from
your
phone.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I passed on the scam to somebody else to pay for it, so I learned early on. But, you know, at the time, it was kind of like, you know, believable, and then I was just like, right, got done. So anyway.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So yeah, fascinating take on clickbait there from Leo. and we avoided a cool story, bro, from JB, which, you know, in the end, I liked it. Trey, my man, what do you got for this question?
Not a great answer, Skeets. I think I've become pretty immune to clickbait. For me right now, it's I will get fooled on a phone call that doesn't have the spam risk. You know, it shows up with a 404 area code. You want to answer it, so you answer it. And then as soon as you hear like 6 seconds of silence, you're like, this one, hang up. The other thing that always gets me is when friends in a group chat send a link to a story and it just ends up being a picture of a well-endowed gentleman sitting on the end of a bed. Those are the two things that really stick out to me. And the other is because Big Kroger Daga mentions here this random stat about Josh Giddey. And since we were talking about baseball, I heard on the broadcast last night that Ozzie Albies has the third most home runs by a switch hitter under the age of 25. Put that one in a headline. I was like, cool, cool, great to know. I guess I'll mark that down. He's right behind Mickey Mantle and Chipper Jones. I don't know if that's true. Just guessing. Those guys are great switch hitters.
I think I have that photo that you're always clicking on. just kidding.
Hey, send me a link real quick.
But you know what would have been really funny, I was thinking? Instead of putting up that photo you're talking about, I put up the photo that you have of Matt sitting on the end of his bed that we can never show.
That would never show it, but never delete it either.
That's right.
Okay. Tass, do you got anything for our final question here?
From Mr. Krogadaga, definitely a twist on what clickbait means. I get clickbaited whenever I see Big Krogadaga sending an email. I've got to include it in the show. I had to send it in to the show, Doc. Yeah. Got to include it. So if you want an email on the show, just sign off with Big Krogadaga.
No, don't do that. Don't tell them that.
I can read right through it. I even know Big Krogadaga's real name.
Amazing.
Sometimes I fill out forms with Big Krogadaga's real given name.
No, interesting. Kidding. When you check into a hotel, do you use Big Krogadaga as your alias? They must be worried when you check into a hotel with that. Get the plungers ready.
Mr. Krogadaga.
Doing some work up there. Speaking of the Braves win there quickly. Are you going to get your taco today, Trey?
Guaranteed. Come on, Skeets. I called that one. I called that one hours before the game. I said, Albies is stealing a base, steal a taco. He got on in the first inning and stole off a lefty. I don't know how many steals he has under the age of 25, but it's got to be top 10 at least.
You did slack that to me hours prior to the game. I thought you were just making a great baseball joke that I got. I can't believe they still do the steal a taco promotion. How long? That's been going on for a while.
It's been going on for
it?
A while, yeah. I was, okay. I think I first saw it in the LCS. It was like on the fence or something like that, an ad on the fence. I was like, what? We're doing this? But then Albies had a nice steal at the end of the LCS as well, so I thought the odds were pretty nice. Made like $1,500 betting on that last night, Skeets.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Only in free tacos, though.
Oh, okay.
Payable in tacos.
There's definitely some confused people in the stream team. They have no idea what the heck we're talking about. Probably not baseball fans. Maybe they don't live in America here. In the World Series, if somebody steals a base, you all get a free taco at Taco Bell the next day. I think it's as simple as that, right? What do I do? Just stroll in there and
I gotta check the fine print. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta prove that you were watching a baseball game last night. Send them the transcript at the group chat to see. Yeah, see, we were talking about it. Give me the taco.
Bit easier than the NBA promo that we did at the finals a couple of years ago, Trey. Remember, it was steal a game, steal a taco.
That's a good point. You had to like win on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you gonna go get yours today, Lee?
Nah.
Can you give it to Trey or me? Yeah.
Bring him over.
All right. Thank you to everybody for sending in those questions. Keep them coming. As the season goes on, we will have obviously separate Beach Step-In episodes, but we'll be sprinkling them in throughout the shows all week long. So nodunks@theathletic.com, @nodunksinc on Twitter, or drop them in the YouTube comments below. We have a very, very funny tweet of the night coming. Very random, I will say. We got our pick 'em results, but one final break to hear from our sponsors. JD, what do you got, my man?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Whoa! Mac is back! You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Hold on, Lee.
Yes.
Come on, share the movie, JD. What's this geeky movie that you don't want to share?
It's 2012's Les Miserables.
Oh.
I don't know.
What's wrong
I
with
love
that?
That movie. I love it. It's extra embarrassing now because Tom Hooper directed it, who is fine. He's a good director. But he went on to make the Cats debacle, which...
That's him.
That's him, yeah. So, Les Miserables is what is... They recorded the songs on location, which is they don't rarely do in musicals, right?
Oh,
they'll usually sing in a studio and then they'll just lip sync to the soundtrack. But they actually recorded on set, which was awesome. And it's like the opening scene is amazing. Like there's, anyways, whatever. we'll do a whole podcast about Les Miserables.
All right,
that's great.
We've got a film session for Les Mis up later this year. Okay, let's follow that up with Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's keep the good times going here, JD. You got a funny random Tweet of the Night for us.
Yeah, this is quite random. This tweet is actually from the weekend, but I got bumped a couple of times. But that's showbiz, right? It's from Pat Mayo. Who? Of the Pat Mayo Experience. I don't know. He has a fantasy sports show.
You don't know Pat Mayo?
I don't know Pat Mayo. I apologize, Pat. I don't know you, but you're not part of my world, really. None of this is, actually. And last week, he had one of our faves on the show. The enigma wrapped in a mystery, Canadian national treasure, just a goddamn delight, Cam Stewart. And we got a little taste of it off in the cold open off the top of the show. And I actually don't really know how to set this up, except to say that Pat, Cam, and our former score bro, Rob Pizzola, were discussing dangerous foods, popcorn, and it turns into cereal. And Cam starts talking about how dangerous cereal can be. And so here's the clip in full. Enjoy.
People choke on a lot of different things. Popcorn has caused a death before. Guaranteed. I just called it dangerous. I didn't say it's going to kill you. I'm just saying you're going to be like, you had problems. You had to get it out of your mouth. It's not a fun situation. That's all I'm saying.
But what are the other dangers? Like if you're going to call it dangerous and it's not going
to
kill you.
It's just dangerous because it sticks to the top of your throat. Okay, you know what?
But what's the danger of that?
I'll just give you my gold, silver, and bronze cereals. Okay. Bronze Captain Crunch. You got to soak it first or else it's going to cut your gums. Okay, I'm not going to say it's going to kill you, but if you like red milk, that's your thing. Two, shredded wheat, the ones that come in the pack. The wheat is so dry, even if you soak it with milk, it's just like popcorn. It'll get stuck at the top, at the bottom, on your tongue, and you have problems breathing. And number one is a bit of a shocker, but Vector. Vector is a thicker flake, and I'm telling you, I've ate it before. The milk does not crush it down like cornflakes and everything else. It's got little nuggets of something in there too. That stuff will just, oh my God, Vectors weren't way worse than popcorn. I've had so much Vector in my throat. Like I love Vector too. It's a good healthy cereal, but it's a very dangerous one. Captain Crunch, shredded wheat, Vector, gold, silver, bronze.
Okay, amazing. That is a man that chokes on his food, it sounds like, every meal. It's just like he's talking about it like it's the most normal thing.
He had an Olympics of choking on cereal.
Ready.
Yeah, no time.
At the hip.
Yeah, the score is ready on Wikipedia. I can't believe shredded wheat came in number two.
Yeah, Vector. People in the stream team, some are confused. What is Vector? I guess that is a Canadian
It's a
brand.
Canadian choking hazard.
It's Canada's finest choking hazard.
It's a bit of a Chex Mix as a cereal, sort of like, you know, those shapes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you agree with the list, Tass? I mean, you're a man that has 100 cereals in your pantry. Has that's he got good, it sort of close?
Yeah. That's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list. Those require some soaking.
I don't get that at all. Are we led to believe that Cam will just put milk in his cereal and leave it for like a half hour just so it's like gross. Mushy pablum type material?
Yeah, 5 minutes. Yeah.
A minute. A minute would even do the trick, JD.
Is this something that people do? Like
a minute for sure.
If he wants to survive.
Well, like I pour the bowl of cereal. First off, I put the cereal in the bowl first. I'm not a psycho.
Right.
Apparently some people put milk in their bowl first and then the cereal. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the cereal in the bowl. Then reach into the fridge, pour a little milk, and then leave that while I put the milk back in the fridge, while grab a spoon, while, you know, whatever. So it's like, sure, like Tass is right. By the end of it, I'm sure it's 60 to 90 seconds, and even just that can help. Can help the cereal.
But that's not a help. That's a hindrance. That's
what do you mean?
I want it crunchy, man. I want that cereal crunchy.
I don't want Vector caught in my throat.
Chew your food, people. Just chew it. That's what your teeth are for.
Yeah.
I will say, I've been eating a lot of Frankenberry because it's October. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the hard ones, not the marshmallows. If you don't really slop them up, I feel like such a softy right now. I can hurt the top of your mouth. Yeah, but I'm like JD. I want it to be crunchy. I'm ready to risk it. Maybe that's why Frankenberry is such a good cereal. You're getting that red milk regardless, but man, I would hate to have Vector stuck in my throat.
I like that.
I would add one. I think Apple Jacks is a pretty rocky cereal. It's rock solid as well.
That's a hearty.
I would add another one. I've been eating, you know, we have a sponsor on the show, Magic Spoon, which doesn't have any grains in the cereal. So I found going down the cereal aisle lately, there's a lot of non-grain cereals. There's one cereal that's made out of egg whites, and somehow, like, it's comprised of egg whites, and they stick some, you know, stuff to, you know, monk fruit extract or whatever. Those things are literal rocks in a bowl. I tried.
He's got gravel in his bowl.
You can't. Milk doesn't do a thing to them. It doesn't do a thing. I bought a box, and I threw it out after one bowl. I'm not a thrower outer ever, but I know there's no way I was going back for a second dip of rocks. It was unbelievable. I would, I'm pretty sure it would choke Cam Stewart. It would kill Cam Stewart to eat those things. Yeah, it was phenomenal, man. Anyway.
Crazy. Right, what a clip. I'm glad.
What a clip.
It got bumped a couple days, but I'm glad we got it in here. Especially
it's timeless,
after Lee's
so,
flawless ad read.
you said The Weeknd tweeted that?
No, I said it's from The Weeknd.
Oh yeah, okay.
Do you think The Weeknd knows who Cam Stewart is?
Probably.
What?
Okay, does The Weeknd know who Pat Mayo is?
Well, if he knows Cam Stewart, maybe he knows Pat Mayo. Who knows?
Do you think, okay, let's keep it going. Do you think Cam Stewart dips his wings into mayo?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yes. Nah, I don't know.
Fries. He dips his fries in.
Ranch is like a mayo. Ranch is like
okay. All right, pick 'em results from last night. It was the Nuggets Jazz game. Utah was favored by 7.5. This, by the way, brought to you by BetMGM. And the Jazz covered. They won by, I believe, 12 in the end. So that's a victory for Lee, who's 5-1 here in the month of October. What a hot start for him. Tass and I finally got a victory. We improve. Throw that in air quotes. Excuse me, I got some Vector caught in my throat. To 2-4. And Trey, you swerved. You had Denver. That's an L. You're 3-3. But what's tonight's game, Tess?
The Memphis Grizzlies visiting the Portland Trail Blazers. Obviously, Dame off to a very bad start this year. He's shooting 8% from three-point land. He's taken 24 threes, only hit two of them. Will he come around to take control of this game against the Memphis Grizzlies, who they should be fighting for in the standings, fighting for a spot with in the standings? Grizzlies are 2-1, great start, and the Blazers are 1-2. Portland at home, a 2.5-point favorite. Skeets, myself, and Trey like Portland, while Lee likes the Bears.
Yeah, Lee, were you purposely swerving, or, you know, you're all in on this Grizzlies team being pretty damn good?
I think it's that one, more so than the first one. It wasn't a purposeful swerve because I got in there, I think, second in the pick. So, I just like the way that Ja Morant's been playing now. It's a bit of a longish road trip to start the season, but they're a young team and they got a couple of days off in between games. I think Sunday was their last game. So they've got a couple of days to get their legs fresh and had some good battles in Portland last season too. So hope they can keep it going. And even if they do lose by up to 2 points, I could still get the W here.
Yeah,
I will say
that. He just couldn't find an emoji for Blazers.
It is true, JD. It's a little tough to find the old Trailblazers emoji there. There's a couple that don't really work on my keyboard, so yeah, we'll just have to see how the season pans out and see which sides I'm going to pick on.
Never going to pick Portland the whole season? No, I mean, exactly. I feel like there's like a winding road emoji and obviously a fire, so that might be your best bet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I had trouble finding the Lakers the other day. I was looking at them.
Had to go Suns.
Hey, whatever. Yeah. Just keep doing it because you're 5-1.
It's working. Yeah,
yeah. Your emoji picks is working out pretty well for you. Okay, so three of us taking the Blazers to win by 3 or more points, and Lili does have the Grizzlies on the road to at least keep it very close or to even win outright, where they have won before. I think most of us are banking on a big, let's call it task, like a big Lillard game, at least a good Blazers game here to try and turn around their season here, because it's been a bad, bad start.
And Ja Morant, they last played in L.A. on the weekend, but he was in L.A. on TV, I believe it was yesterday. He definitely spent a couple extra days in Los Angeles, as our man John Hollinger pointed out, who used to run the Grizzlies front office. And Johnny said, that wouldn't happen on my watch. You'd go home, get your rest. So Ja Morant hanging out in L.A. an extra couple days, give me the Blazers.
Okay, there you go. Good luck to both of those teams. Thanks to the Stream team for joining us live. Had some laughs there this morning. Shout out to everybody that subscribed to No Dunks on Apple, Spotify. If you do and you can, leave us a review, leave us a rating. It always helps us out. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com for Beach Step In podcasts or segments within the show. Hit us up on Twitter at No Dunks Inc. on Instagram, on TikTok. Leave your comments below the vid. And yeah, we'll be back on Thursday morning for the No Dunks Daily Show. And later today, if you're an F1 fan, 2 p.m. Eastern here on YouTube, and then we spin it into a podcast with TK, Graydon Gordian, and special guests, myself, talking about the race down in Austin over the weekend and what's to come with the rest of the F1 season. That's No Breaks later today at 2 p.m. Eastern. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, in honor of Cam Stewart, Warriors and Knicks, unders the picks.
Brace the day, people.